Welcome back to an episode of Man-Made Monsters, a show all about scary true encounters with other people. Once again, this is your host, Eric. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. Tonight's episode features a couple stories from my friend Lucas as he shares his encounters of working an overnight shift at a gas station. They are pretty insane, crazy stories, and I share some of my own stories. Also, for a link to our Discord where you can be interviewed for a future episode and to discover more horror podcasts, head over to eeriecast.com. All right, guys, welcome back to an episode of Man-Made Monsters. I got my buddy Lucas here today, and he is going to be sharing a handful of stories. And they're absolutely insane. I've talked with him a little bit about a couple of these stories already, and they're nuts. I'm just going to say they're nuts. So some I haven't heard yet, some I have heard, but I guess we'll just get into it. Lucas, do you want to introduce yourself and let everyone know kind of, you know, you're single, looking for a lovely lady, long walks on the beach, 6'2" alpha Chad.
Not really, no.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, I mean, do you want to get into the first story?
Yeah, so I'm Master of Thieves, Lucas and such.
But you go by Master of Thieves online?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool. And then where can people could find you, you know, if they want to check you out?
Still working on that, but right now I'll just go ahead and jump to my first story. So I mainly work at the graveyard shift at this like local gas station. Don't want to exactly give out the name and everything because, you know, don't want to get in trouble and such.
Okay.
But the local gas station I'm at, we usually get a bunch of homeless people that come by. Homeless people, drunken people, you name the sorts. Like a lot of people who try to come and cause problems. Now the first story I'm going to go with is a story that happened recently. So I recently started from, like, I think 11 p.m., and there are a bunch of homeless people in front of the store. We usually have a rule that we go out there and we see them, we tell them, like, hey, no loitering, no soliciting. It's not that we're trying to be, like, you know, bad guys or anything like that. It's just that we kind of have to tell them to go because when people are trying to shop, a lot of these homeless people try to crowd people, asking for money, or sometimes they, like, bother them. And we can't be like have any favoritism to everyone else, so we had to tell it to everyone, you know? So I was telling all these homeless people, hey, so sorry, gotta go. And this one specific homeless person, the best way I can describe him, he is a 40 or 50 year old man who has a blind left eye. And when I told him that he had to go, he then got up and starts looking at me and starts cussing me out, saying that he's not bothering anyone. Why is he leaving? Everything else. And I tried to explain to him, sir, I'm not saying you're bothering anyone. I'm saying that's just the rule we have here. And the rule doesn't just apply to you. It applies to everyone. After I went back inside to try to help the next customer, he gets more mad. He kicks down a trash can, grabs the trash can lid, and then he throws out the window, starts cussing me out and starting to threaten me. I, of course, tried to ignore it the best way I could and just, you know, let him do his own thing. And a few hours passed by throughout the night. And I would say this was like maybe 2 or 3 in the morning. I see him come back again. This time, he comes back and he brings a dog. It wasn't a big dog or anything, but he still brings a dog without a leash inside the store. And that's also, you know, you're not allowed to do that either. So I couldn't tell it was him right away because this person was wearing a hoodie. So I was like, sir, you can't be bringing a dog in without without a leash or anything like that. You guys got to go. And the person looked at me and I automatically recognized who he was. And I was like, no, this guy again. And before I was trying to tell him to leave, he then rushed inside the store, grabs a bunch of chips, fills up his drinks, and then he bolted out. And if it was like a one-time thing, I of course was like, okay, whatever. He's just no big deal because we can't stop anyone who steals because it's not just for our safety, but for the store safety too. He did it multiple times throughout the night where he rushes inside the store, grabs a bunch of food and drinks, and then he leaves. And I kind of got to my breaking point. Next time, it was like around 5 a.m., I see him chilling inside front of our store where I knocked on the glass and I said, sir, you got to go or I'm calling the cops. This guy, he then bursts through the doors, he comes in front of me, and he starts cussing me out. Well, obviously, there's a counter right there, but he still starts cussing me out. I start cussing him out, saying like, sir, I have asked you multiple times politely, and yet you keep on doing this stuff. if you're not going to listen, then I'm going to have to call the cops. Then he then starts threatening me, saying that if I call the cops, he's going to find me, kill me, and everything else. And he says, go ahead and call the cops. I'm going to be way right here. I'm going to tell him, have you been a complete asshole to me? I'm like, sir, I've been showing you nothing but respect. I've been calling you sir for this entire time. Then this was during the time when the people were bringing the alcohols for the store. He then rushes out the store, grabs one of the people's dollies, and then throws it inside the store. Thankfully, he didn't hit anyone that was inside the store or break any windows. But then he starts acting like a complete child, kicking over the trash can again, throwing it everywhere, starts banging in the window. He starts screaming to the top of his head like if he was like a kid taking a toy away. I was having enough of it. I called the cops, and the cops took like about an hour to get there. And thankfully, the guy was still there. The cops talked to him, and somewhat the cops weren't big of a help. They were trying to be neutral, so they didn't want to pick any sides. Which I'm like, what do you mean pick any sides? We have cameras of him throwing the dolly and threatening me and cussing out our customers. But the cop says that he didn't want to pick any sides or anything. So he just gave the guy a warning, saying that if he comes back, they'll persecute him and all that stuff. And just let him off with a warning. And with me, they just said they just hope I had a safer night. And I'm not gonna lie, I felt very angry of how the cop kind of handled the situation, because when I told my boss about it, my boss was telling me like how I did it was, you know, very good. I called the cops, I remained behind the counter and everything. But the fact that the cops got there an hour later after I called them kind of showed like how the cops in my area are. Because if that guy had a weapon or anything, what could have happened? The guy was threatening to kill me. What if he jumped over the counter? I don't know. And the fact that if he was so angry enough to grab a red dolly from one of like some other company and throw it inside, what would happen if he had a gun on him or anything? I don't know. It just makes me upset that knowing that anything could have happened that night, but the cops kind of took it very lightly. That's pretty much my first story.
God damn. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, the cops didn't really give a shit. They were just like, oh, you know, it's just, you know, he's having a bad day. Just let him steal all this stuff and, you know, it's whatever.
Well, yeah, it's not like that. I understand that everyone is struggling right now. Like, we're right now in an era where everyone's going through some things. But right now it's not a time where we need to be, like, making it harder on each other. Like, even if it's not just with the homeless people, I even know that there are some people like in mine or even your situation, we go through our own struggles and such. And the last thing we need is just some people or other people trying to make it harder on us. And like I said, I tried to give that guy the benefit of the doubt, giving him some warnings, but he was not having any of it.
Yeah. Well, I remember we talked earlier. You mentioned there was another guy that looked like him, right? And you thought it was him?
Oh, yeah. So what happened was, in that same morning, I was talking to my boss, and I was explaining to him exactly what this guy looked like and everything. And I kid you not, for everyone who's listening to this, the person who came into the store also had a blind left eye, had a similar facial structure and the same haircut as this guy, and was also homeless, walked inside the store, and I said to my boss, I'm pretty sure that's him. My boss tells him to leave the store, and this guy turns around, and it was a completely different homeless person with a blind left eye. And my boss was saying like, oh yeah, actually there are three homeless people with a blind left eye who look exactly like that. I'm like, Jesus, so we can't tell who they are then, because now there are three guys with a blind left eye who just looks like that.
It's like, it's very specific too. That's why it's so funny. It's my God. What did that guy do whenever you said it? And you were like, oh, that's not him.
No. Like, so what? Like, what happened was that guy comes inside the store and he was just trying to buy some alcohol, because yeah, it was during the time like after 7 a.m. when we unlocked the beers and such. He was trying to grab a beer, and I told my boss, and my boss was like, hey, so you gotta go. He turns around and he's like, What? What's going on? What's going on? And this person had a different tone of voice than the other guy. Like, he spoke differently.
Yeah.
And he was taken off guard. I had to get a good look of him, and I was like, no, it's not him. And my boss apologized. I apologized. And he's like, oh, no, no, it's fine. It's fine. There's other people who have the same blind left eye as me. And I asked him, I was like, is there a cult or something? And he's like, no, 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 just a few people with just a blind left eye.
Poor guy. He's like the good version. The other guy's like the evil version.
I mean, I guess, but if that's the evil version, that's the good version. I really don't want to know what the third version is.
Yeah, he's just perfect though. He's in the middle. He's got both his eyes at work, and he's got a business job, and he's doing good. Oh
my God, no, he's just like the fucking daredevil. He's just both blind. But regardless, I did feel like the whole situation of that night could have been handled a lot more better. But that's just like my story one. My story number two. We usually keep our bathrooms locked because of the homeless. Now, we try to keep it unlocked during the day because that's when people come in and buy things. But usually at night times, we mainly get like drunken people, homeless, or people who try to steal. Now, there was a time where I saw there was a homeless guy outside with a cart. And I, of course, going out there and I told him, sir, you got to leave. And he says that he was going to grab something from within the store. So I was chilling in front of the counter, and our entire front store has windows and everything. And I'm watching this guy because he's the only guy like around the area. And I see him getting his crack ready right in front of like the store and everything. And I'm like, okay, he's definitely going to try to go inside the store. So I went to the restroom, locked the door and everything, and I went back, and I see him like finally arriving inside the store. And just like if I had a magic genie or a magic ball, he of course went straight to the restroom to try to smoke crack. And he says, the bathroom's locked. And I explained to him, yes, sir, because I pretty much saw you what you're trying to do. I saw you getting your crack ready and everything. He gets so upset, and this is what I mean by a lot of the people around or a lot of the homeless people around act like children. He then starts cussing me out, grabbing a bunch of napkins near our food area, and then he starts kicking over some of our food stands. And then he's saying, like, I just want to use the restroom and everything. He's like, all right, sir, then why are you trying to get crackery? He's like, well, it's just medicine, okay? And you're trying to smoke it in the bathroom. He's like, well, I can't smoke it outside. I was like, sir, you can't smoke it in our bathroom either. Then he gets even more upset, and he storms out of the store. And the thing is, my boss saw the camera and everything of like this guy getting the crack ready, and he even says that there's just some people out there who literally don't have like a common sense to realize what's going on. Like I do, like I said, I do feel bad for a lot of people's situations because some people's situations are out of their control. For example, there was one homeless person who was telling me about his life story. He's saying that he actually was kicked out of his home, and the only thing that he had left was an RV. And he's saying that his RV was the only thing that he was living inside of, and the only thing that was like he was able to go to. It wasn't until one day that his friend came over and wanted to drive his RV for a bit and stole it from him. And now he's completely homeless. Now, and I told him, I was like, sir, I feel bad for that, but I asked him, why did you trust this, like, your friend with your RV? And he says he didn't know. He just says that he just wanted to help out. And I felt that. But I did also want to try to help him out. I was like, sir, there's other ways of trying to get yourself out of that rubbish. You can try looking for some jobs nearby. It's not impossible to get out. And I haven't seen that guy in a while, but last I've heard, he's just been wandering around, and hopefully he's getting himself better.
Damn.
Yeah, I know. It's very sad out here.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd have the confidence to tell someone like, sir, you can't smoke that crack. I'd just be like, oh, I'm sorry, sir, those bathrooms are in order.
Well, I kind of had to be very vague to him, because when I told him that the bathroom was locked, he, of course, wanted an explanation why. And I couldn't just like be like, oh, yeah, because, you know, the bathroom's having problems and everything else. I just wanted to tell him straight out, like, sir, I saw you what you were doing, and you can't be doing that. And him trying to reflect, saying, like, how he needed his medicine and everything else, is like, sir, If it's medicine that you're trying to take, that's one thing, but trying to smoke it here in our bathroom, that's not gonna, that's we can't allow that, no. And he just retaliated with just with more tantrums and him just cussing me out. But that's and a strange thing is he's not the only one. A few days ago, my boss sent me a text of a couple actually who is now banned from the store of both of them trying to smoke crack in the bathroom together. Which, by the way, we already have a rule where there's only one person in the bathroom at a time. And these couples always try to go in and usually try to either do drugs, try to have sex, or try to do something like they're not supposed to. And that's why we always say, like, hey, one at a time, so and so, so. But
Come on, man. Let them
no
have a
matter.
little sex and do some drugs in the bathroom, the gas station, man. Come on.
Well, guess who's the one who's going to have to clean it? Me.
Nah, let the next customer go in there and clean it
Yeah, right
up. Let
now.
them clean up the drugs and the sex.
Yeah, that's not gonna happen.
They walk and slip in it. Sir, I think I just slipped into a pool of sex and drugs. Oh, I'm
Oh
sorry,
yeah,
sir.
you might get yourself tested real quick.
You point to a sign in the bathroom and it's like a person slipping, and then it shows like a needle on the floor and then like liquid. And you're like, oh, I'm sorry, so you can't sue us because we had that sign right there. See, it's right there.
Exactly. And in fact, we all say that here in this specific gas station, that's the experience you're after. You're supposed to slip on the floor and get the needle in.
Yeah, that's gonna cost you extra, buddy.
Now, do you want your photo taken now or do you want your photo taken
It's
later?
like Splash Mountain at Disney where they just
Exactly.
mid-slip. Why is there a camera in the bathroom?
We have our reasons, sir. We have our reasons.
Sir, I don't go into your house and ask you questions, do I? No, I don't. Okay? This is my house. All right?
You see exactly where you're stepping on? That's where I sleep.
Jesus Christ.
Let me go to my other story.
Okay.
So, this is actually when I was kind of when I was training. Now, apparently, the guy who used to work before me got fired, and he was also like in his training.
Wait, why'd he get
What you call it?
fired?
That's what I was about to get to.
Oh,
So,
okay.
the reason why this guy got fired was because he fell for a scam. Now, the one thing that you need to know about the gas station is you're going to get a lot of calls, especially at night times, from scam callers. Mostly, a lot of these scam callers would try to impersonate your boss or try to say, like, hey, we need to do this for us. However, my boss actually told me that never expect them to call from that phone number. If we wanted to call you, we'll call you from your personal cell, which makes sense. So, what happened was with this other guy, the guy before me, he actually fell for this scammer. He believed that it was actually one of our bosses, and he took over 600 and something dollars and he put it in, I believe, in some type of cryptocurrency or something like that. And the store lost over nearly 900 bucks that one night. And the thing is, this guy is now under investigation because they believe that this guy cannot possibly be that dumb enough to fall for that scam. And believe that he possibly may be involved with the scam, considering that it has something to do with cryptocurrency, and this is like more of a like our current generation type of thing. So they believing that he might have something to do with that. So he's under investigation, and the person that he got involving with this person is also in investigation too. So they're very strict about me saying like, hey, don't fall for these scam callers, just ignore them.
Have you had a couple of them?
Oh, definitely. I actually had one saying that, like, I kid you not, there was this one call I had, and it was a slow night. I answered it, and I was like, yes, hello? And it was like, hi, this is your boss. We need you to do something. And I was like, what's your name? He's like, this is your boss. I was like, okay, yeah, but what's your name, sir? And he's like, you don't know my name? And he's like, I do you? And next thing you know, like the person starts like talking in Spanish to somebody else and then talks to me again saying like, we need you to go outside and we need you to do us a few things. He's like, yeah, I'm not going outside, sir. And he's like, why not? He's like, because I already did everything I need to do outside and I need to maintain the front store. And he's saying, well, you'll get fired. And he's like, all right, we'll talk about that when you're here in the morning, sir. And then the person hangs up. And after that phone number hangs up, I see that there was a truck that pulls out from the side of the building and then just drives on the main road. So right there was telling me that there were some people waiting for me to get outside to either jump me or something. I don't know.
Hey friends, don't go anywhere just yet. We are taking a quick break for our sponsors.
Yeah, and the way they bolted out wasn't like a simple drive. Like, they drove out and didn't care who was in it. Like, fortunately, there was nobody there, like, near the gas stations or anything like that. But they just went on the straight road and just drove off. And I was like, God dang. And I was thinking to myself, what would happen if I did go outside? Like, would they run? Would they just run me over or something?
I think they probably wanted to rob the store. They probably would have just fucking robbed the shit. I mean, what happens if the place gets robbed? You just give them, I just give them whatever. They take the fucking money.
No, so what happens is, like, if they rob the store, we, of course, have to, like, follow them because our safety matters. However, if they steal a certain amount of dollars, like, let's just say they steal, like, over 100-something dollars, we all, like, we lose our job immediately. And the reason why is because, like, we're not allowed to have more than $100 in our register. Like, we're supposed to drop, like, a good, like, all that over $100 into the safe. So if they by chance have more than that and they steal it, then we are considered liable and we can lose our jobs for that.
What if you get robbed while you're dropping the money?
They said, like, I asked them that and my boss said, well, just be careful. Just be cautious who you're dropping your money around.
I'm like, well, what the fuck is the point? We're dropping the money to be safe and I get robbed.
And yeah, well, yeah. And like I said, we can't physically touch these people. I'm not sure if you know what a beer run is. Do you?
Oh, yeah, beer run? Yeah. Okay, so I got a story.
So, go for it.
All right, whenever I was, like 19 years old, I worked at Walmart. And I was a manager overnight. Man, I got some fucking stories. So, just from that year working there, manager overnight at Walmart, and this is like maybe first month, and I didn't really know all the roles, you know? And I worked overnight, so I didn't talk to anybody besides just doing my nighttime shit. But, you know, I came in at, I think, 10 p.m. till 7 a.m. So, I would work those hours. And, you know, we still sold beer before whatever time they stopped selling beer in Texas. And, yeah, I mean, we would get beer runs. And, you know, I was like, fuck this. I'm tired of this shit. So I saw this kid, and he had, like, 230 packs, you know, the big fuckers. And he's skinny, skinny little kid. And I'm pretty buff at this point in my life. I, you know, been working out for a while. I'm pretty big. And I'm like, I see him going for it. So he starts running out the door. And I'm like, get the fuck back here. And I chase his ass. I chase his ass through the whole parking lot. And eventually, like, the beer rips out through the bottom through both of them, you know, and it just fucking spills out everywhere, and he keeps running. And I was like, I'm going to fucking find you. I just, you know, I'm all pissed at this point. And, it was so funny. He hauled ass. I mean, he got out of there at that point, and I just walked back inside, and I was, like, laughing. And then, like, the other employees were like, you can't do that, man. What? I was like, what? They're like, they'll fucking fire you. I was like, what are you talking about? They're like, only Lost Prevention can chase people outside the store. I was like, oh. I was like, whatever. And...
Yeah, we can't do that in our store.
Yeah, they never really cared about it at that point. Another funny time is this one dude, and he's like a kid, you know. He looked like 19 or 20-ish, you know. He looked young. And he's going through, like, the front register straight out the door pretty much, but he's there at the register. And I could tell he's, like, ready to, like, leave. But at the same time, he's wearing shorts and, like, a basketball T-shirt or, like, a basketball tank top, so it's really tight against the skin. And I can tell he's got an entire wine bottle stuffed in the front of his pants his waistline. And I'm like, I look at him behind the cash register. I'm like, sir, can you pull that bottle out from your pants and get out of the store? I don't have a bottle. What are you talking about? And I was like, sir, that giant ass bottle there protruding from your front there, that one right there. And he's looking at it. And then he starts to go for it. So as he starts walking forward, I just swipe my hand in front of the counter and I smack the bottle like downwards. So it falls out from his pants and just like explodes all over the floor. I'm like, fuck. So it's just like a bottle that has exploded on the floor with wine everywhere. And then at that point he leaves and I'm like, all right, well, thank you, sir. You're banned from the store. And then you know, we cleaned it up and it was funny. So I got on the intercom. I'm like, can someone bring a bunch of straws to aisle one? So, I'm like, and a mop. So yeah, we cleaned it up and it was so funny though. Like that same week, you know, cause I'd work night shift. I'd get off at 7 a.m. and it's like 7 a.m. and I'm just doing my shopping now at this point. I'm off work. I'm just going to shop and get some stuff before I go home. And you know, I'm at the register checking out and the store manager's there. She's talking to me. And she's like, hey, Eric. I'm like, hey, what's up? You know, we're just kind of shooting the shit, just letting her know how my night went. And then I see the dude. I see him again. And he's with his mom. And I'm like, no, fucking way. He's like a minor. So I'm like, oh, wait, one second. Check this out. I totally like that. I'm like, check this out. So the lady's like at the other register checking out. And then I go like inside the little register area with the other girl that's checking her out. And I was like, hey, give me one second. Ma'am, is this your son here? And then he looks up and he knows it's me now, you know? And his eyes are all wide. And I'm like, she's like, yeah. And I was like, hi, yeah, your son the other night was trying to steal a bottle of wine, at which point he dropped and it exploded all over the floor right there behind you. And I went ahead and let him know that he was banned from the store. So your son's never allowed to come to any of the Walmarts ever again. And he'll be trespassed. Hey. And I was like, actually, I should call the cops right now and have him persecuted. I was like, but I'm not. So just understand that, yeah, he's no longer allowed here. You can still come here. And she was so mad. It was so funny. She's like yelling at her kid and he's just like embarrassed. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so funny.
That's.
He had it coming.
I mean, I can 100% relate to that story. So I'll tell you my story. Okay.
Okay.
So what happened was, we have beer runs usually every other day. It's very common, especially at a gas station, and especially on the weekends. On the weekends, I expect there to be, like, beer runs who try to come and, like, happen, especially during when you're busy with other customers. Now, when you're working in the gas stations at night times, you're mainly just by yourself. Like, no one's going to be there with you. You're just going to be by yourself. And one second, sir.
No, you're good. Yeah, I'm curious why they don't just have like the beer locked up somewhere and they have to like look through a catalog and say, yes, can I get some of these? And they show your ID first and then they can buy it. Like, if I had a gas station, I would do it like that. I would have that shit locked up and then they can purchase through like the counter first and then get their beer. I think that's how I would do it. It just seems.
I mean, that's something that my boss was talking to me about, but the problem is that since so many people will be buying or trying to get alcohol, you'll be constantly being going back there all the time. So it'll be the point like, well, if everyone's to be coming and getting alcohol, why not just, you know, have it unlocked for people to grab, especially during the day?
Yeah, well, I think during a certain hour, then you should lock it, you know?
Yeah, we usually close, lock up our alcohols like at midnight.
Okay. Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, so just to give you like a brief idea of how calm it is. Now, there's a person I work with. She's like the same rank as me, but she's trying to be a supervisor. But the key word I use is trying to be. Now, the one thing I want to go ahead and say is this person is a bit of a slacker. And I don't want to say exactly what her name is or anything because I don't want her to get in trouble. But there was a time where a customer has told her that there was a beer run that was happening and she was on her phone not paying attention. And it did not just happen once, but it happened multiple times when this girl was mainly on her phone. I kid you not. There's a time where I walked in because it was about to be my shift. And I see her having like a total of 15 people in the store in a line. And I see her on her phone just actually talking to someone and taking her sweet time scanning the items. And when I got there, she looked at me and she's like, oh, Lucas, can you come here real quick? I was like, what's up? I need to go use the restroom. Do you mind if you can take this real quick? I'm like, I'm not even supposed to be clocked in for another 15 minutes. She's like, okay, thank you. And I had to ring everyone up. And it got to some point where it was really bad where my boss had to call me in and tell me that I'm pretty much going to be taking in a lot of her own shifts, because every time that he sends her to different stores, they keep on complaining about her about the same thing, seeing that she's usually on her phone, she's not doing anything, and a lot of people have been stealing from her. So, back to my story of the beer run, that is. Sorry if I had to go on there.
No,
It was like 2 a.m. for me, and I see there's this young punk coming in, and he already seemed a bit buzzed. Now, this was after midnight, because after midnight, that's when we closed the alcohol and everything, and like I said, it was 2 a.m. So all the alcohol is locked up, things are already covered and everything. He goes to the back, and he was trying to get alcohol, but there's a chain there. However, even though there's a chain around the door, you can still crack the door open and still grab something from it. It's not completely locked. And I told my boss, I was like, we need to find a way for us to lock these doors completely. And he's saying that he's trying to find a way, but he's saying that it's just like something we have for now. Anyway, this young punk, he goes in, he opens the door, and he grabs a few packs of beers. And I was like, sir, you got to put those back. And he tries to play the dumb card where he's like, huh? Put what back? And he's like, sir, I can see you with the alcohol. And then he's the only person in the store. So it's just only me and him. And he knows I'm watching him. And then once I try to go around the corner to grab the beer from him, he bolts out the door. And while he's bolting out the door, he trips over one of those curves that's like supposed to be a little stopping point for the cars.
Mm-hmm.
And drops all the alcohol everywhere, glass everywhere. And he has glass over his chest, but then he keeps on running.
Jesus Christ.
Yes, and guess who had to clean up that mess?
Oh,
well,
yeah.
I'll give you a hint. It wasn't him.
Fuck. Honestly, I think at that point he just deserves it. So whatever he got away with, you know.
Well, he didn't get away with anything. All the alcohol smashed on his chest when he tripped over that thing, and then he landed on
Christ.
It.
What an idiot.
But I told my boss about it, and my boss, of course, had to write it down and everything. And that was just my first beer run. My second beer run, I had to actually physically take it away from this this older gentleman. Now, we have something called the vault. Now, the vault is where you go behind the alcohol, and that's where like all the alcohol storage is, where you can, you know, fill it up from the front and everything. And we strictly have signs saying that it's employees only. And this older gentleman, he comes in, and he goes into the employees-only area. He grabs the beer, and keep in mind, this is like 4 a.m., so after like the closing point. And I see him doing this, and I just catch him. He's like, all right, I can take this for you. He's like, oh, okay, thank you. He's like, all right, yeah, you can go now. He's like, why? He's like, well, first off, you can't get beer if you wanted to, and you're not allowed to be back there, so you can go. So I'm not sure if he actually noticed or anything, but I try to play smart of, like, casually, like, yeah, I can take this up for you, you know. Try to not, like, make it too conspicuous for him to notice. And fortunately, he just left with no big deal. He just left, just, like, you know, grumpy or anything. But I don't know why, but the alcohol is just usually the main point for a lot of our thefts. And it only got more worse as the nights went on. And this has something to do with the homeless people, actually. So usually during the mornings when we start selling alcohol again, a lot of the homeless people will come in, try to buy alcohol, and they will try to chill in front of our store and drink. And during this time, we usually tell them, like, hey, you can buy the alcohol and whatnot, but you can't chill in front of the store. And this is when my other boss, her name is, I can't say her name, but this is my female boss. And she was actually telling this one homeless guy who was screaming to the top of his lungs. He wasn't screaming at anyone. He was screaming at himself. And a lot of people were speculating that this guy probably has a mental illness or anything. Mm-hmm. But we do note that he was drinking a huge bottle of, like, I'm not sure if it was Budweiser or anything, but he was drinking a huge bottle. And he was screaming to himself. My boss went out there and saying that, sir, if you're going to keep on screaming like that, we're going to tell you have to leave, or we're going to be calling the cops. This homeless guy turned around and he threw the glass bottle at my boss. Fortunately, she ran it back inside and the bottle smashed through the door itself.
Jesus Christ.
Yes. And when we called the cops and told them about what the guy looks like and everything, first of all, the cops got there 2 hours later. And so the guy's already like a mile away, so he's already gone. But by the time the cops get there and we tell them exactly what this guy looks like, they're saying like, oh yeah, we know the guy. We'll know the guy. We'll get him. Don't worry. And then the next day, in my shift, I see him again. And I'm like, so much for getting the guy. And this guy, he tries to come back inside the store because my boss is not there. And I told him, like, sir, you got to go. And he's like, why? What did I do? And he's like, what do you do, sir? You threw a bottle yesterday. You threw a bottle at my boss.
What did you do after that?
Well, after I told him that, he just got mad. He flipped me off. And then the entire day, he just stayed in front of the store, putting his middle finger against the glass window at me. And part of me wanted to go outside and fight him, but it's against the rules. And I'm not going to lose my job over this one person.
Damn.
It's a struggle, but yeah, it gets really annoying. Now, with my other coworker, I can't tell you exactly his name, but he's willing to fight somebody if he has to. He doesn't care if he loses a job. In fact, when I was working with him during my training time, this guy, he was being threatened by some gang members. And I didn't know they were gang members because I thought they were just like, you know, regular guys. But he told me they were gang members. And he told me that these guys were threatening him because he was refusing to sell them the cigarettes and everything that he needs. And told him that because, like, the ID that they presented him, and I looked at the ID, it was a completely different person. Like, the guy who was handing it was, like, a very chubby-looking guy with, like, long hair. And the person he gave us the ID was an Asian person. So, we obviously couldn't sell him the cigarettes. And there he was talking to the other guy in Spanish, and I couldn't understand him. And my friend, or the guy I was working with, he was about to jump over the counter because these guys were, like, threatening him and everything. And I was like, no, don't lose it. No. You're training me. Come on, man. You're training me. Lead by example, man. Lead by example. Don't let these guys get to you. But, man, it got really bad.
That's insane. I mean, you know what? I mean, after that point, you're like, fuck it. Here, just sell them the cigarettes, dude. These guys are crazy.
I mean, yeah, but here's the thing. We can also get in trouble because if we check somebody's ID and they show that their ID does not match the person and we sell them a product, and by chance that person gets hurt or has anything in problem, like, for example, let's say we sell a person who is not old enough to buy alcohol, and that person gets into a car accident, they can actually trace it back to us, and not just the company, but the person who sells them that alcohol can get sued.
Well, alcohol, yeah. I don't think a cigarette. I mean, like 30 years later when they get lung cancer, they're going, all right, we've tracked down the cigarette tobacco to this one shop 30 years ago, and this guy worked here around that time. Put it on him.
But it's not even just that, too. It's also, like, with our bosses. With our bosses, they check the cameras daily on the cameras and everything, and they can see of, like, who we're talking to and exactly. Because, like, if I go on the computer and say this person I sold it to was, like, 30 years old, but they can see that this person looks like they're still in high school, they can ask us questions and everything, and we can still get liable or sued because of that. I know it sounds crazy, but that's kind of like how the company is.
Yeah, that's nuts.
But tell me, when you were working at Walmart, didn't you have a lot of those incidents too where you have people who try swindling you out of your stuff?
Yeah. Plenty of times. I think the biggest time we just had this one dude. He was like shopping and, you know, we were still able to take stuff in, you know, through the night, like ring people up. And it was so funny because this guy actually asked me for a job, you know. He asked me if we were hiring and stuff, so I walked in through the steps and I took his information down, you know, took his number down. And I was like, yeah, here, I'll give this information to my manager in the morning. So, you know, I'd have his phone number and stuff. And then He proceeds to go shopping throughout the night. You know, he's got a basket full, like full of just shit. And then immediately runs to the front door and goes. And at this point, like everyone, every employee is watching this. But we all walk outside. We're watching him like desperately unload into the back of his trunk. And we're just like, okay. So I walk up and I just take a picture of him doing it and a picture of his license plate. I was like, all right, well, I got you on camera. I got your license plate. I got your phone number. So I really hope none of this is linked to a house that you live at, because you're probably going to go to jail.
And one last little break for our sponsors.
And he's like, oh, fuck you. I'm not no fuck, man. What a fuck, man. He's just all cursing at this point. I'm like, okay, it's up to you. So I was like, I just want to let you know, we already called the cops, so you better hurry up. Because he's taking like forever to load this shit in there. And then eventually he like only gets like one third of it in his car. And then he's like drives off really quickly. The cops come. We tell them. And then they're like, oh, yeah, that guy? Like, they came like an hour and a half later. So we're like, yeah, we actually caught that guy. He tried doing the same thing at the Albertsons right after you guys. And I was like, oh. I was laughing.
So like, I guess he was just going on a shopping spree / a job application spree or something.
Yeah, I was like, well, this is fun over too if you guys need it. So. It was so funny.
My God.
Yeah. I don't know what he thought was going to happen.
My Lord. That kind of actually happened to me very similar too. So what happened was, there's this person who comes in and they're asking for a job. And we, of course, I told them like, oh yeah, you can just apply through online and everything. And this person was around the same age as me. And this person was just walking around the store, and I can usually keep my eye on people. I usually just keep my eye on people, not because like I find them suspicious or anything. It's just something we have to do. We just have to keep our eyes on everybody. And I see this person starting to fill up like a bunch of their drinks and everything with like a fountain drinks, the frozen, I forgot what it's called, Froza or something like that. And was grabbing a bunch of chips, pretty much filled like an entire car full of stuff. And when she kind of comes to the cash register, she was saying like, hey, do you mind if I can get like half of this off? And I was like, why would I do that? She's saying, well, like, because I'm going to be soon an employee here. And I told her, well, first, I'm an employee here and we don't even get 50% off. And I told her that even if you wanted to buy all this stuff, you're still not technically with the company. Like, you haven't filled up an application or anything. You just talked about it. And if you want to be joining the company, I told you about, like, you know, go to the website and everything. So I don't understand her logic of thinking that she can just buy all the stuff she has right in front of me for 50% off. And next you know, she starts getting mad at me. She's saying, like, well, how can I really be working with you guys if you're going to be treating me like this right off the bat? I was like, ma'am, I'm not trying to be, like, rude or anything. It just seems very illogical for me to give you 50% off if you haven't even running down a single thing on the application at all. In fact, I even told her that I'm an employee and we don't even get 50% off. None of that stuff. So she grabbed a bunch of the stuff that's on the counter. She rushes outside, and next thing you know, she just gets in her car and drives off. And like I said, we can't stop them or anything. And strange enough, this happened when I was off the shift, like off the clock. She tried coming back again during the time with my boss was there, and I told my boss about it and everything, and he looked on the cameras and saw her, and he told her to get out. She refused. He called the cops, and by the time the cops got there, she drove off. And the cops was talking to my boss, and what he told me was that this wasn't the first gas station that she tried pulling this off, that she did this like at a Circle K of like going over there trying to get 50% off, got denied, stole. She did the same thing over there, like, at a Quick Trip and just so many things. And they're saying that they're trying to prosecute this woman, but this woman constantly jumps from one gas station to another where they just kind of just don't really care at this point. And I was like, what do you mean you don't care? She's stealing, like, hundreds of dollars worth of stuff. I don't know. Like, the police right here, they take forever to come. Like, what my boss told me was that the cops, when they got there, it took them nearly 2 hours. 2 hours for them to get to the gas station. And I kid you not, the police station is a few blocks away from the gas station.
That's nuts. I mean, what the fuck? I mean, what? I wonder what you have to say to get them to actually do something.
Well, my boss accidentally, because like there's actually these devices where you can set off a silent alarm in case like there's a gun or anything like that. And he accidentally pushed that button when he was leaning against the counter. And the cops got there under 5 minutes. So I guess just depending on the situation of when they get there. And don't get me wrong, the police sometimes go to the gas stations, especially in the morning, to get their coffees and such. Because for any of you who cops out there, you get your coffee for free if you go to some of these gas stations. That's just like if you're a cop, that is. And the cops come there, they get their free coffees, and sometimes they talk to me. They'll tell me that they actually are very understaffed. That not a lot of people nowadays really want to be cops. That they're actually are trying to have more people become cops, and they've been lowering down their expectations. In fact, they're saying originally for you to become a cop, you need to at least have some college credit or anything like that. They're saying that's no longer even a requirement anymore. They're saying that as long as you have a high school diploma, boom, you're already considered recommended there. And I just asked him, like, well, if like being a cop is all that, how come nobody really wants to be a cop anymore? And he just tells me, well, because mainly if things off social media. And seeing that a lot of people, like, every time a cop does something, it usually is just recorded and just posted on social media where people actually are starting to resent cops. And I feel that. I'm like, yeah, you know, that's kind of true. Because when I go on TikTok and Twitter, I do see it all the time. But that doesn't mean you guys should take 2 hours or something to get here. I don't know. Like, I'm not a cop or anything, so I don't know how it works. But if there are people who are cops, well, hopefully, like, they get the help that they needed, you know?
I hate homeless people. No, I'm just kidding. No.
Oh, my God.
Just kidding.
I talk about all of that, now you just bring up homeless people.
No, I mean, I was homeless for a while, so I get it. But at the same time,
oh, dang.
I don't get it. You know what I mean? Fuck. I mean, I've probably been on worse shit that a lot of people have been on, but, you know, I still have my morals. I still worked, you know? I was homeless, but I worked. Oh, yeah. So
that's important. Like, right now in our generation, we're going to have a lot of people who are going to be facing, like, those homeless, like, you know, who are going to be facing being homeless or who are homeless. And it's just how you take that approach. Like, I know there are going to be some people who are going to try to, like, take advantage of it, where they're going to be, like, smashing things, grabbing things, and everything else, but they're still going to be in that same place. They're going to be stuck. Like, they need to work their way up and everything, but I really don't know much about economics or politics or anything, so I don't know exactly, like, how things are going to go, but all I know is since I work at the gas station, there's a lot of people out there who try to give me a lot of problems, mainly the homeless people who will try to, like, trick me or who try to steal from me. And don't get me wrong, there actually are some few homeless people who I talk to and who I enjoy throughout the night. There's this one homeless guy who comes inside the store, who goes behind, like, this, I'll call it, like, a slot machine, because we do technically have a slot machine inside our store, and he'll just be playing that the entire night. He would just be sitting there, we would just talk or anything. And he just minds his own business. He doesn't steal. He doesn't do anything. All he just goes is to that machine and back. And he tells me stories about, like, all these people. He's saying that there's some people out here who try to, like, take advantage of other homeless people. For example, he was saying that there's this one homeless guy who tries to be the leader of a bunch of other homeless people. And I saw this homeless guy that he was talking about because he came inside the store one time. This guy is standing he is 3 foot tall, and he's trying to be a leader of all these homeless people.
He's the leader of the homeless people?
No, he's trying to be the leader of the homeless people. Like, what this other homeless guy was telling me about was that this one guy tries telling people orders. He tries to, like, saying, like, you need to follow my way if you want to, like, you know, to survive here and everything else. But no one takes him seriously because, like, no one cares. So he tries to act like he's this Billy Badass type of guy. And when he comes inside the store, he tries even throwing some of that authority onto me. For example, he tries buying cigarettes, but he was off by a few dollars. Like, he gave me $4, but the cigarettes cost like $9, so he was like $5 off. And I was like, sorry, sir, you know, you're off by $5. And he's saying like, do you know not who I am? I was like, no. He's saying like, these people are my people. We got you if you got us. And I was like, okay. But you're still $5 short. And he's saying like, come on, I come to the store every day. And it's like, yeah. But you're still $5 off. And he's saying like, well, if you want to keep this job, I recommend you try to make things more comfortable for me and my friends. And I was like, well, if you want to keep coming to the store, I recommend you at least have the full change of the things you want to buy. And next thing you know, he gets super mad. He's like, okay, don't be surprised if you don't have a job by tomorrow. And I had a job by tomorrow. I told my boss that, and my boss saying like, oh, that guy, yeah, that guy will try to push you around. Don't let that guy bother you. But yeah, I just got to a point where like I just had to keep on watching my back, and I don't want to do that. Like, I don't plan to stay on this job forever. I do plan to just try to find another better job. The only reason why I'm stuck at this job because I'm trying to, whatchamacallit? Trying to cut my car payment in half. And then once that's said and done, I plan to at least work on somewhere like maybe Border Patrol or something and try to get myself higher up so I can just get out of this town. Because this town is just too many problems, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I feel that. Sometimes you just need to get out of where you're at, get to a new, fresh spot, you know, and just hit it, you know? Mm-hmm. Just start over and just enjoy life, you know?
But tell me, like, what would you give advice for people who will be in the same predicament that you were? Because you said that you were once homeless, right?
Yeah. Oh, man. I mean, honestly, you know, when you're homeless, I mean, first thing you're going to want is a car. You know, you're going to be able to get around and you can live in the car. So, you know, you're homeless, but you're not homeless at that point. You got a car, you can stay in it. You're at least away from the elements a little bit more. You can lock yourself in there. You can cover up the windows. You can, you know, store food. And one second, I feel like I got a sneeze. Sorry. So you can lock yourself up, get away, get where you need to get to, you know, work and back. You can go to the, if you need to take a shower, you know, you get a gym membership. Planet Fitness, $10 a month. It's like a $49 annual fee, which is super cheap, you know, considering you can use their showers. You can use, you know, you can brush your teeth in there. You can shave. Everything you need to do pretty much in the dressing room. They've got lockers and stuff to put your stuff away while you're doing it. Just get a lock. You know, and then if you're trying to eat, you know, you need food. I mean, bread. Bread's going to last you about a week. Peanut butter, because you can make sandwiches with that. Non-perishable meats that you can eat for the day, like a can of Spam. Or, you know, like a can of chili, and you can mix that with some Fritos. Those are non-perishable. You can mix that, or you can put some chili on some bread. You know, you just want to have a lot of shelf-stable food, so beef jerky. Imagine, like, camping foods that can kind of last you out there. Oatmeal, it's dry. You can heat it up with some water. There's a lot of ways to kind of get around things, you know. If you're working somewhere at a job, I mean, I used to just work fast food, so I would eat when I was at work, and then I would get, like, discounts, or sometimes I'd work at a place, and they give you free food.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, I worked at a Popeyes one time, and the dude, it was so funny. When I got the job, he was Cuban, and he was like, my friend, if you work here, you eat for free. I'll let you know right now. You don't have to come in. On your days off, you can eat for free. Anytime. All day, every day. I just need people to work. And he was having a hard time finding people to work there. I was like, that's all you had to tell me. You know, he's still paying me, you know, regular hourly, but he was also like, you eat for free. I mean, when I tell you I ate breakfast, lunch, and dinner at Popeyes, and I would close. So I would take all the fucking leftovers home with me. If nobody else wanted to take any, I had a trash bag full of fucking like leftovers wrapped up in different containers. And I would have my fridge stocked with fucking Popeyes. And I mean, I did what I could to survive. And it came to a point where I was taking like different seasonings to turn the chicken to different flavors because you get tired of it. You know, I was trying to make orange chicken out of Popeye's chicken strips and stuff. You know, I'd take all the breading off and take the chicken and mix it with rice or something, you know, try to make it different. But yeah, I did that for a long time and it's hard, you know, it's hard, but eventually you'll find that point where you can, you know, just be comfortable. You can, you know, eventually get yourself a little apartment, something cheap, you know. Mm-hmm. You might have to Photoshop a couple documents to make it look like you're making three times the rent. I mean, we've all been there.
Oh my God. No, yeah, I don't want to give it up. Get rid of that information.
Look, man, you gotta do what you gotta do. You know, who the fuck's
I mean, yeah, I get that. I get that.
Who's making like $4,000 a month, you know, working at a regular job? No, nobody's making that shit, that kind of money. So a lot of these, and especially now, yeah. You know, I'll just be realistic with it. So, you know, luckily now I'm doing good in life where I'm able to, you know, afford the things that I have. But it's, yeah, it's, I mean, it's just a bitch. It's just a bitch to kind of get out of that point. And, yeah, well, I think I got off topic. I think we have time for,
no, perfectly fine.
One more good story. And
I do. I got a good story.
All right, let us have it.
All right, so this was technically when I was, this was like actually a few nights ago. And there was this one homeless guy who comes in, and I had a huge issue with him. And he would usually come inside the store, and he would try to be in the bathroom for about over an hour. And we usually have a rule, like, you can't be in the bathroom for more than, like, 15 minutes or so because, like, you know, there's other people there. And there was an older woman who comes in, and she comes out, and she's like, hey, is your bathroom blocked or something? I was like, no, shouldn't be. Why? And she let me know that there's a person in there, and every time she knocked, this guy would yell at her. So I knocked on the door, I was like, sir, you're in there? He's like, I'm busy. And I was like, oh, and I recognized his voice because it was the same guy from over an hour ago. I was like, sir, you've been in there for over an hour, sir. You have to hurry up. And he's like, I got my dick out. Leave me alone. He was like, okay. So I told the woman my apologies. The bathrooms are occupied. And I called the cops. The cops, they actually got there a bit quicker than usual. And I let them know and that the guy was in the bathroom. The cops were there. And they knocked on the door. And the guy still thinks it's me. And he's like, I told you I'm fucking busy. You know? And the cop is like, sir, where was the police? He opens the door and his entire demeanor changed. He's like, oh, hello, sir. How may I help you? And I kid you not, this guy had a needle in his hand. And it looks like that he was shooting up in the bathroom. So the cops told him, like, hey, sir, you need to come with us and everything. He's like, oh, what's the problem? What's the problem? And next you know, he walks out there. They're talking to him, and the ambulance get there. Apparently, one of the cops called the ambulance. The guy goes in there, and the cops come back and tell me the whole thing, saying that this guy is on the influence of drugs and to be careful of, like, who will in the bathroom. And this isn't the first time I had to deal with this guy. So when I was actually working on another, like, another night, some people come to me, and they were just giving me weird looks. And I was like, is there a problem? And this woman walks up to me and saying, like, there's a person in front of your store, because there is a spot near my view where you can technically crouch, and I won't be able to see you. Mm-hmm. So this guy was there, and they're telling me that this guy has is on the influence of drugs. And when I walk outside the store, he is passed out, a needle sticking out of his arm, and he looks like he's twitching and everything.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. So I had to go in, call the cops again, and I was like, hey, you know, this is a different day, you know, but this is the same guy. The cops come in, and they tell him that he needs to leave. He gets up, the needle still in his arm, and he starts waddling away like a penguin down the highway.
My God, what the...
And I told him, like, are you not going to arrest him or anything? He's saying, like, well, he's like, what's the bother? That guy's going to be let go, like, in a couple days anyway. I was like, Jesus Christ. But that's just with my story. Like, I'm pretty sure, like, with my other, like, my other co-workers and everything else have more interesting stories, too. It's just like with the homeless, we just have to be very careful. I know there's time when I was throwing out the garbage, this one homeless guy was trying to catch me outside. And not trying to like talk to me or anything, he was trying to pull a weapon out on me. Because when I was throwing out the trash can, I see him peeking out in the shadows, and I speed walked back into the to back inside the store, and he was slowly doing the same thing too. I got inside the store first, and once I got inside the store, he then just walks away. I was like, what is up with these people now? They're just trying to fucking start a riot.
That's nuts. Well, I think we hit our time here for what we have for this episode, but I want to thank you for one for coming on tonight. I know you're kind of busy, but I'm glad I was able to get you on here. And I'd like to ask everyone that gets on my show, what's a piece of advice you would give to someone in your situation? You know, they work at a gas station overnight, and you know, you get a shit ton of crazy people. What's something you would give to a person in your same footsteps, a piece of advice for so that they can feel a little bit safer?
Right. I know a lot of people would usually tell me to keep a weapon on me, but even with that, that's still against policy. We can't even have a knife on us.
That's horrible advice. No.
I know.
I think I would have a weapon on me still. I just wouldn't tell anybody. I mean, I'd have like a gun on me. Fuck it. So
that's good. That's good to have.
I think that's what I would do if I was in your footsteps. But yeah, I guess it's specific to specific to everybody else. So I guess that's about it. Well, thank you, Mr. Master of Thieves, Lucas, my buddy, my pal. Thank you for coming on. Mm-hmm. And well, that's it. Goodbye, everybody. Thank you for listening. Have a great night, great weekend, and I'll catch you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
I just want to say thanks again for listening, everybody. If you made it this far, then I'm sure you'd love to know where you can find more scary content. For more podcasts like this, and a link to our Discord where you can reach out to be interviewed, please go to eeriecast.com. Thanks again.